ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 14 आइडियल फैमिली लाइफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 9। मृगोष्ठोखरमर्काको सरीसृपखगमक्षिका आत्मना पुत्रवत् पश्येत् तैरेषामन्तरं कियत्। ट्रांसलेशन पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness understands that there is no difference between the animals and the innocent children in one's home. Even in ordinary life, it is our practical experience that a household dog or cat is regarded on the same level as one's children without any envy. Like children, the unintelligent animals are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, a Krishna conscious person, even though a householder, should not discriminate between children and poor animals. Unfortunately, modern society has devised many means for killing animals in different forms of life. For example, in the agricultural fields, there may be many mice, flies, and other creatures that disturb production, and sometimes they are killed by pesticides. In this verse, however, such killing is forbidden. Every living entity should be nourished by the food given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Human society should not consider itself the only enjoyer of all properties of God. Rather, men should understand that all the other animals also have a claim to God's property. In this verse, even the snake is mentioned, indicating that a householder should not be envious even of a snake. If everyone is fully satisfied by eating food that is a gift from the Lord, why should there be envy between one living being and another? In modern days, people are very much inclined towards communistic ideas. But we do not think that there can be any better communistic idea than that which is explained in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the communistic countries, the poor animals are killed without consideration, although they also should have the right to take their allotted food with which to live. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and these innocent animals. To understand this verse in proper perspective, since we are reading this chapter, Ideal Family Life, before we present something on this verse, I'd like to read the summary of this chapter. So this verse will be properly seen in that summary, in the proper perspective. This chapter describes the occupational duties of the householder according to the time, country, and the performer. When Yudhishthir Maharaj became very much inquisitive about the occupational duties for the householder, Narad Muni advised him that a grihastha's first duty is to be fully dependent on Vasudeva Krishna and to try to satisfy him in all respects by executing one's prescribed devotional service. This devotional service will depend on the instructions of authorities and association of devotees who are actually engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is shravanam, or hearing. One must hear from the mouths of realized souls. In this way, the grihastha's attraction to his wife and children will gradually be reduced. As for the maintenance of his family, a grihastha, while earning what he requires for his living, must be very conscientious and must not undergo extraordinary endeavor simply to accumulate money and unnecessarily increase in material comforts. Although a grihastha should externally be very active in earning his livelihood, he should internally be situated as a fully self-realized person without attachment for material gains. His dealings with family members or friends should be performed simply to fulfill their purpose. One should not be extravagantly engaged in this way. Instructions from family members and society should be accepted superficially. But in essence, the grihastha should be engaged in occupational duties advised by the spiritual master and shastra. Specifically, a grihastha should engage in agricultural activities to earn money. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam, agriculture, cow protection and trade are special duties of grihastha. If by chance or by grace of Lord more money comes, it should be properly engaged for Krishna conscious movement. One should not be eager to earn more money simply for sensual pleasure. A grihastha should always remember that one who is endeavoring to accumulate more money than necessary is to be considered a thief and is punishable by the laws of nature. And now, a grihastha should be very much attentive, should be very much affectionate towards lower animals, birds and bees, treating them exactly like his own children. A grihastha should not indulge in killing animals or birds for sense gratification. He should provide the necessities of life even to the dogs and lowest creature, and should not exploit others for sense gratification. And summary goes on. So, Srila Prabhupada often would quote this beautiful verse from the Sri Ishopanishad, Isha Vashyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bhunjita. Prabhupada would say that Lord Krishna has provided for everyone's necessities. And therefore, each person, each living entity on this in this universe is entitled to his quota. And he should accept this quota as the mercy of the Lord and should not encroach upon others' quota. If you see this universe, Srila Prabhupada many times compared this universal system like a family unit, like a big family, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like father, the material nature is like the mother, and all the living entities in this world are the children of God. So in the concept of a big family, we find that there are parents and there are many children and relatives, a joint family. And we are comparing here to a very big family. Sometimes we have seen families also, very big families. Like Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in one of the Sunday Fish that one of the devotees in his family, there are 25 children. So we are talking about much more bigger family than even 25. It's a huge family. Vasudeva Kutumbikam. A huge family of all living entities are children of God and God as the provider, the father. Now, let us analyze this family which we all are staying in two angles, two perspectives. One angle is seeing this huge family as one of the children in that family. That we are all one of the children in a huge family of so many children. Now we find in a family, a big family, if there are number of children, then as the material world goes, not everyone is same. There is distinct feature in every child. And in fact, some child may be very intelligent, very active, very mature. And some children may be not so mature, may be foolish, maybe irresponsible, immature, or sometimes abnormal. So a big family has varieties of children. So if you are staying in such a family, and if you are one of those children, and we happen to be a very intelligent and good child, what will be our perspective when we see everyone in the family, all the other brothers and sisters which we have? The first perspective is that we know that every child in the family is a legitimate child and therefore is a rightful owner and successor to the father's property. That is understood. In the same sense, when we see this huge family, Srila Prabhupada is stressing here that we are living in a huge family where everyone is having a right to father's property. And we all know that we are all basically part and parcel of Krishna. Every living entity is a spirit soul covered by a particular body based on the reactions of his past karma. So those who are in animal body, they are all the spirit souls like us. But because of the previous karma, whatever it may be, gross or subtle, whatever kind of karma they had, little or huge, they are now inhabiting an animal body. And we as human beings, we are not superior in any sense, because we are getting an opportunity now, because of a past karma which was very good, that we got a human body. But it's a junction point where we either come out of birth and death cycle, or we surely go back to the cycle of transmigration, back to animal body from where we came from. So it is just a matter of free will. We as human beings have in the past maybe used our free will properly, so we got a human body. But guaranteed, if you don't use it properly now, we'll get animal body. An animal who is there now, he has in the past misused his free will, therefore he is having that body. And therefore, when you see any animal, any birds, any insects, we should know quite sure that these people, these living entities, at one point of time were humans. And therefore now they got this body because of some karma. In fact, many times, karma may not be as gross to be an animal. It may be a small mistake. Now we hear this story, beautiful story from the Krishna book of King Nriga. Now King Nriga was a powerful king. The kind of charity and compassion he had, no one can compare today. King Nriga would give cows, well-nourished cows, in charity every day. Not just one or two, in thousands, to anyone who came to his palace. And Bhagavatam mentions that the amount of charity he did can be compared to the amount of dust particles which are there on the earth planet. That number of cows he distributed. Can you imagine, in today's world people are glorifying Mr. Bill Gates, Mr. Warren Buffet for charity. But they are like beggars in front of King Nriga. Such a highly, perfectly civilized king. And in the next life he becomes a lizard for one small mistake. He was very humble, and therefore he approached the Brahmanas in a humble mood and said that, I made a mistake, please rectify the mistake, take more cows. Perfectly civilized person. One small mistake, he was a lizard. Can you imagine if you are in Dwapar Yuga, if we all stayed in Dwapar Yuga and you see that lizard, will you ever even think that he was King Nriga, the great King Nriga, whose name is in pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, he became a lizard. But we find that the children of Lord Krishna, when they saw that lizard, they saw with the angle of a spirit soul. And therefore they wanted to rescue the lizard. And therefore Krishna came and rescued the lizard, and King Nriga got his body back. So you find that a small mistake on the part of King Nriga gave him the body of a lizard. Similarly, we also hear Srila Prabhupada speaking many times the story of Kailash and Narad Muni. Now Kailash, he did not take Krishna consciousness seriously. Narad Muni's suggestion that, come, there is a chance to go back to Godhead now. And Kailash was not interested. But because Kailash was very much attached to family, in his next life he became a dog. And so on and so forth, he went to become a snake. And then we see that how his own children and grandchildren later bet Kailash, who was a snake now, to death. They could not recognize that this person, this snake, was none other than his own forefather. So the Prabhupada also speaks about in Nectar of Instruction about one man was very rich and very much attached to his house. And the next life he became a cobbler in front of his own house. And he had a memory that he is the owner of the house. So one time he went inside to tell all of his children and grandchildren that, I am that person, I am your father. And the result was all the children and grandchildren took the very shoes he was wearing and bet him and removed him out of the house. So we don't know what a person becomes in his next life. Maybe a big mistake or a small mistake. So Shastras enjoin us to see every living entity equally. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini. Shuni chaiva sopakecha pandita samadarshina. Every living entity should be seen with equal vision. A sage by virtue of true knowledge. one who is knowledgeable, one who knows things as they are, will see all living entities equally. So that is the first perspective of us as a child, seeing everyone else in the home as equal shareholders to father's property. One more perspective to this angle is that if a person is very abnormal in the home, then we see that that person receives more attention and more concern. And therefore Prabhupada says also, one should treat animals exactly like one's own son. That means more concern is there. And therefore treated as equally to like a child. How little difference there is actually between children and these innocent animals, Prabhupada says. We find when children are very small in home, the whole house, especially father and mother, are conscious of the child. They were doing their duties, but they are very much conscious of what the child is doing, where the child is, what is up to. Even in our temple also, many times we see parents coming here, and they are absorbed in chanting, they are absorbed in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. But somehow expertly manage to even keep one eye on the child who is playing somewhere, because that concern is there. Children, they require more attention, more concern. Similarly, animals also, Prabhupada says here. Just like, as I mentioned, that in a family where a person is abnormal, he gets more attention and more concern. And the Vashula Prabhupada says, animals should be treated like one's own children. Now, this is perspective from the angle of us as children in the family. Now, let's take the perspective from the angle of us as a parent in the family. If someone is a parent, so what a parent's role will be towards all of his children? Will he make any distinction? No. The parent will provide every one of the child in the house equal necessities, equal shelter. There won't be any difference. One child will not be cared for much more than the other. Similarly, Krishna also is like that father. He cares for every living entity in this world. And therefore you find that Krishna is so kind. Krishna is such a well-wisher. Surdam sarva bhutanam. He is a well-wisher, so much a well-wisher that he follows every living entity's sojourn in this material world as super soul in his heart. No matter which body we the living entity take, Krishna is there for sure with us in every body. Even in the body of a low degraded microbe, Krishna is there. Krishna will never leave us. That is Krishna's equality to all his children. And second perspective from parent side is that a father will show definitely some extra love to those who are very active, intelligent and mature. Definitely, that is very natural. But why he shows that extra love and attention? Because he sees that this child is very intelligently taking my responsibility in the family. He is more mature and he is sharing my responsibility. So the child takes the responsibility, shares the responsibility of father. The father gives extra attention to that child. So we as human beings are given that special attention by Krishna. Why? Because we are supposed to share that responsibility of Krishna to be equal to all living entities. So that is a whole idea. Perspective from a father's side, from a parent's side, and also from one of the children's. And you find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam so many examples of great devotees showing this. Now we so many times hear about Bharat Maharaj. Now Bharat Maharaj, he retired from his family life and he went on the banks of Gandaki. And then we know that how he found that small baby deer. Now when Bharat Maharaj went to pick up that baby deer, it was all those symptoms of Bharat Maharaj is actually fitting to the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Exactly this verse which Srila Prabhupada is speaking here. Bharat Maharaj was actually going to the deer not because of attachment, as a duty towards that living entity who is suffering and who is struggling for existence. So Bharat Maharaj was actually following Srimad Bhagavatam when he went and picked up the deer. Of course, later it turned out that he became attached to deer. But at least the initial part, Bharat Maharaj went and picked up the deer, it was fully following the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam here. Then we have the example of Shivananda Sen from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because a dog followed the devotee's party every day, Shivanand Sen took charge of the dog. In fact, many times Shivanand Sen, when they would the whole party would cross a river, the boatman would say, "I cannot take dog on my boat." And Shivanand Sen had to pay extra money to get that dog on the boat. And even on paying taxes on the way, he had to pay extra money for the dog. That was Shivanand Sen. Why? Because he thought, this dog has taken shelter of our party. Since I am providing to every devotee in the party, I should provide for him also. The example of Yudhishthir Maharaj. When Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the four Pandavas, other Pandavas, along with Draupadi, left to retire and they all went to Himalayas, again a dog was following Yudhishthir Maharaj. In due course of time, everyone fell down from the Himalayas, and the last only Yudhishthir Maharaj remained, and there was a dog. And a chariot came from the higher destination to take him. And he said, "I can't go alone. This dog has followed me from my kingdom. You should take him also." And this attendant told him that, "We cannot take the dog. If you want to take the dog, we will not take you also." And Yudhishthir Maharaj said, "I don't mind. But if he has come with me, I should take charge of him. He also deserves the same equal rights like me." That was Yudhishthir Maharaj's consciousness in taking care of the dog. Then Shibi Maharaj, when he was trading his own flesh for the pigeon, he was thinking that the pigeon is non-different than his own self. Like we hear this famous Niti Shloka, that Matravat Paradareshu Paradraveshu Lostravat Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu Yapashyati Sa Pandita. Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu, seeing every living entity as one's own self. Shibi Maharaj saw that pigeon non-different than him. And therefore, he was on the weighing pan for the pigeon's flesh, he was putting his own flesh. He was trading, contemplating or equating his own body to that of a pigeon. And then example of Rantidev. Rantidev's example that how, on the brink of death, he fed whatever he had to the dogs which a chandala brought. So these are famous examples of devotees in the scriptures who treat animals equally. Now, in Mayapur, in Navadvip Dham, across the Ganges from where our temple is, ISKCON temple, this is Navadvip town, also called as Kulia. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj would stay there. His bhajan kutir and samadhi mandir is there. So Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, when he would take food, the servant would get him a plate of prasad. And many times, the local dogs would come running. And they would start eating from his plate. And he would not mind. He would be happy seeing them. So he would share his own food with all the dogs. And many times the servant would come and try to shoo the dog away. But he always said, no, they are all dhamvasis. He saw them as dhamvasis, the residents of dham. So one day, the servant very intelligently, he locked all the dogs and then fed prasad to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was waiting. Why the dogs are not coming today? And he called his servant and said, "Where are the dogs?" And then told that, "I locked them." He said, "Don't lock them. Let them come." Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj one day got a donation of 1 rupee. It was a very big amount that time. And he told his servant, Bihari Lal, I think so, told him to bring rasgullas. And he bought a huge amount of rasgullas. That 1 rupee was a huge amount. And then he told Bihari Lal, "Go and feed all the animals in the dham with these rasgullas." And Bihari Lal was confused. "Why not brahmanas?" He said, "Brahmanas, they are useless." Because that time, people who were living there, many brahmanas, they were not up to the standard. Prabhupada, Jagannath Babaji Maharaj said that it's better to feed the animals than to feed those brahmanas. That was his respect for Dhamir Kukur, the resident dog in the in Mayapur. So, Srila Prabhupada is speaking about protection. Now, what to speak of protection? In this modern age, no protection, in fact, only exploitation. Prabhupada says in the purport, "Unfortunately, modern society has devised many means for killing animals in different forms of life." We can see, today animals are caught and killed for one's own sense gratification. To get cost, to make costly leather articles, skin. The leather, where it comes from skin. Skin of crocodiles, lizards, snakes, tigers. The meat industry is booming because of killing of cows, hen, goats, lambs. I'm talking about India. Outside India, like, it's everyone, every living entity, every animal who's walking is killed. For research, the scientists, they're killing guinea pigs and rats. For tusk and their teeth, elephants and tigers are killed. So if we see that, what to speak of protecting? The whole civilization is geared to kill. And that is the difference between modern culture and the West and the Vedic culture. Modern culture sees everything in terms of its productivity. And Vedic culture would see everything in right perspective. Even if a person is incapable, he would be protected and provided for. But in modern culture, if the living entity is not productive, he is eliminated. That is the culture. Like there is a saying that people, the human beings, should be using things and loving people. But today's age is people are loving things and using people. That mentality of degradation, of seeing everything as productivity. If it is not giving production, that person is not anyway beneficial to society, eliminate. Use it for own sense gratification. So that is productive analysis, and that is the difference between modern culture and the Vedic culture. Srila Prabhupada would often say that in that terms of productivity, the modern culture also sees saints as non-productive, and therefore they are not interested in saintly people. And even cow is seen as non-productive. And for the age, previously, the cows were inside house and dogs were outside. But in today's world, it is topsy-turvy. The cows are on the street and the dog is inside the house. So Prabhupada say that previously a saintly person would go to anyone's house and give his darshan. Darshan means his nice instructions. And enlighten a householder. But today's age is the age of barking dogs. And everyone has a billboard outside his, a signboard outside his house. Beware of dogs. So they are keeping dogs inside and they want to shoo away the saintly people. So cows are on the street and dogs are in home. And therefore we see in previous ages, cow milk was abundantly available. But in today's age, no cows, so no cow milk. And then there's alternatives, buffalo milk, homogenized and pasteurized milk, now soya milk, and more alternatives will come. So even for sense gratification, we are seeing that the standard has become so degraded, what Vedic culture people would get, even for subsistence, would get good quality. And now people have to get somehow used to things which are below standard, just because Vedic culture is not followed. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, this beautiful story comes of how once small Nimai, he bought a small puppy dog in his house. And Sachi Mata was very upset. She said to Nimai that, "You are a Brahmana. We are not supposed to keep dogs inside our house." And then she told that, "I am going to leave this dog away." And then somehow Nimai Pandit, Lord, he was upset on this. So that Sachi Mata devised the plan. And she told Nimai that, "You go and take bath in the Ganges. I kept prasad ready for you." And when Lord Nimai went for taking bath, it is mentioned that she took the dog away outside and left the dog. The puppy dog. Puppy dog went away. Swachi Mata was not that she was disrespectful to the dog. She was seeing things in proper perspective. The dog was respected, but at his own position. No one would bring a dog in home and cuddle the dog. So kept it at right perspective. Srila Prabhupada, when he was initially preaching, 1965, 1966, all these initial devotees, they had dogs in their houses. And when they would come for programs in Machiner's gift shop, they would get their dogs also. And Prabhupada would tell them, "No dogs inside." He said, "Dogs are not interested in hearing satsang programs, in hearing lectures on Krishna consciousness." So he made those, the respect was given to dogs, but outside the house. So he kept all the dogs were outside, you know. Shyam Sundar Pooh mentioned that how he had a dog and Malati Mataji also had a dog, and all the dogs were outside. Just like all the devotees got accustomed to each other, strangers. So even dogs also got accustomed to each other. All the dogs there had their own party there outside. So dog was kept outside. One time Srila Prabhupada was with a wealthy man in, I think, Mumbai only. And then the next day the wealthy man took Prabhupada on a ride. He had a dog. He kept dog. He made the dog, his own dog, sit next to Srila Prabhupada on the seat. And Srila Prabhupada was disgusted. So equality doesn't mean that you raid a dog with a spiritual master. Not like that. Every living entity has its position and has to be respected. So since we already discussed something about Srila Prabhupada's pastime, I thought we'll discuss something more. How Srila Prabhupada dealt with many other animals and also different kinds of pests when he was physically present in this material world. Regarding rats, Srila Prabhupada mentions this, and this narration comes in the Prabhupada Lilamrit. I'll read this narration, very beautiful. This is about Srila Prabhupada's own father, Gaur Mohandi. Gaur Mohan was a pure Vaishnava, and he raised his son to be Krishna conscious. Since his own parents had also been Vaishnavas, Gaur Mohan had never touched meat, fish, eggs, tea or coffee. His complexion was fair and its disposition reserved. At night, he would lock up his clothes shop, set a ball of rice in the middle of the floor to satisfy the rats so that they would not chew the cloth in their hunger, and then he would return home. Since we are discussing ideal family life, we can continue now more on Gaur Mohandi's whole life. At home, he would read from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he chanted on his japa beads and worshipped the deity of Lord Krishna. He was gentle and affectionate and would never punish Abhay. Even when obliged to correct him, Gaur Mohan would first apologize. "You are my son, so now I must correct you. It is my duty." Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father would chastise him, so don't mind. Srila Prabhupada says, "My father's income was no more than 250 rupees, but there was no question of need. In the mango season, when we were children, we would run through the house playing and would grab mangoes as we were running through. And all through the day, we would eat mangoes. We would not have to think, can I have a mango? My father always provided food mangoes. Mangoes were 1 rupee a dozen that time. Life was simple, but there was always plenty. We were middle class, but receiving 4 or 5 guests daily. My father gave 4 daughters in marriage, and there was no difficulty for him. Maybe it was not a luxurious life, but there was no scarcity of food or shelter or cloth. Daily he purchased 2.5 kilograms of milk. He did not like to purchase retail, but to purchase a year's supply of coal by the cartload. We were happy. Not that because we did not purchase a motor car, we were unhappy. My father used to say, God has 10 hands. If he wants to take away from you with 2 hands, how much can you protect? And when he wants to give you with his 10 hands, then with your 2 hands, how much can you take? My father would rise a little late, around 7 or 8. Then after taking bath, he would go purchasing. Then from 10 o'clock to 1 in the afternoon, he was engaged in puja. Then he would take lunch and go to business. And in the business shop, he would take a little rest for 1 hour. He would come home from business at 10 o'clock at night, and then again he would do puja. Actually, his real business was puja. For livelihood, he did some business, but puja was his main business. We would do sleeping, and the father would do aarti. Ding, ding, ding. We would hear the bell and wake up and see him bowing down before Krishna. So this is Gaur Mohan, this Srila Prabhupada's father. One time, this is a nice story which Govinda Dasi Mataji speaks. She mentions that how once she went to Srila Prabhupada's room to serve Srila Prabhupada Prasad. While keeping the prasadam plate, both Srila Prabhupada and Govinda Mataji, they saw a rat running inside Prabhupada's room. She became very much disturbed. She kept the plate and she ran behind that rat to catch that rat. Excitedly, Srila Prabhupada also got up. And Srila Prabhupada also joined to catch that rat. And then there was one devotee who was moving outside the door of Srila Prabhupada. He saw some commotion inside. He came inside and he thought, I should also help my spiritual master. So he saw something. He saw a shoe box. So he entered into the struggle of getting the rat. And finally the rat was caught. And Srila Prabhupada said later, if you keep everything clean, rats would not come, Prabhupada said. I remember I was visiting one house, one devotee's house with one of the senior devotees in temple. And when we were sitting, both of us, suddenly a cockroach came in front of us. And this devotee, whose house we went, he took an immediate broom and hit the cockroach and threw it out. And then he realized that I should have not done that in front of devotees. But immediately said, Prabhuji, what can I do? To keep the house clean, I have to do this. Somehow this devotee who was with me, senior, he was so inspired, he said, it is other way around. If you keep the house clean, then you don't have to do this. If you keep the house clean, you don't have to do this, and these people will not come, this pest would not come in the house. So Prabhupada is saying the same thing. If the environment is very clean, the pest would never enter the house. If you know the Prabhupada's famous story from Juhu, Pancha Dravid Prabhu came to meet Prabhupada outside Bombay, and he came and told Prabhupada about the report of Bombay preaching. And Prabhupada was very much happy with him, and Prabhupada told Pancha Dravid, I am going to give you sannyas, you are such a nice, wonderful devotee, managing the temple there. And he was very happy that Prabhupada is encouraging him. And then Prabhupada said, so what about Bombay, how things are going? I said, Prabhupada, too many rats, so much of disturbance because of rats. And Prabhupada suddenly changed his whole attitude, behavior. He said, rats. Prabhupada said, that means you are not clean, Prabhupada told him. This is the habit of modernized person. Take lot of prasad, eat little, and keep the plate for 6 months on the corner. And then he told, isn't it? And he was like pushing Pancha Dravid Prabhu that, isn't it? You are not clean. And Pancha Dravid Prabhu had just been kind of glorified and about to be given sannyas and all those things. And immediately saw that he was on the receiving end from Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada was shouting, isn't it, you're not clean? And Prabhupada said, therefore, because you're not clean, because you're not chanting your own properly, Prabhupada said. And he became much more disturbed. And Prabhupada said, Pancha Dravid Prabhu said that, Prabhupada, we're all chanting our rounds. And Prabhupada said, that means you mean to say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is wrong. And Srila Prabhupada said, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. When you chant, your heart becomes clean. And your heart is clean, inside is clean. How can you tolerate something not clean outside? That means you are not chanting your rounds. So we find that atmosphere is very, if atmosphere is suitable and congenial and hygienic, we will not find pests, unwanted guests in our homes or in our temples. So we need to also know the atmosphere is that. Therefore, they are invited. They get attracted. So therefore, we need to keep a clean and pure place. I'll take one more instance from Srimad Bhagavatam, narration of a very clean and pure place. And we'll see who all stayed there in that clean and pure place. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, the place where Kardam Muni is staying. This is the holy lake of Bindu Sarovar. Now, Swayambhu Manu is coming with his daughter, Devahuti, and he's seeing this. The holy lake Bindu Sarovar, flooded by the waters of river Saraswati, was resorted to be the host of eminent sages. Its holy water was not only auspicious, but as sweet as nectar. It was called Bindu Sarovar because drops of tears had fallen there from the eyes of the Lord, who was overwhelmed by extreme compassion for the sage who had sought his protection. The shore of the lake was surrounded by clusters of pious trees and creepers, rich in fruits and flowers of all seasons, that afforded shelter to pious animals and birds, which uttered various cries. Intoxicated bees wandered there, intoxicated peacocks proudly danced, and merry cuckoos called one another. Lake Bindu Sarovar was adorned by flowering trees, kadamba, champak, ashok, karanja, bakula, asana. The air was filled with pleasing notes of karandava ducks, plovers, swans, waterfowls, cranes, chakravak, and chakoras. Like that. So it was a pious place, pious sages lived there, pious trees grew there, and pious animals stayed there. Because that place attracted people of same mindset. In cities, we find all these birds are not there. The most prominent bird in city is a crow, and second is a pigeon. We will never find peacocks at stock exchange dancing or parrots near Andheri Bridge. We will not find them. Why? Because they are not attracted to this atmosphere which is available. This atmosphere which is there is only attracting crows and pigeons, and men like crows. So, Srila Prabhupada was, saw some instances ago about Prabhupada not happy with dog. Prabhupada was not happy with dog at home, and also that dog is considered a condemned species. But Prabhupada many times glorified a dog for his unique quality of faithfulness. Now we'll see a nice instance of how Prabhupada is dealing and speaking about a dog here. Prabhupada says, this is from Hari Shauri Prabhu's transcendental diary. As I massaged Prabhupada under his mosquito net on the roof tonight, he complained about the dogs barking and yowling in the alleyways. They were disturbing his sleep. He shook his head and told me that a bird as a dog is a most unfortunate situation. Because they are weak from hunger, they fight and yowl. But you feed them, they become strong and they fight even more, making even more disturbance. He said there is no use in feeding them or in taking compassion on them. They are a condemned species, especially meant for starving and having a hard life. But Prabhupada said, there is nothing lower than a dog. Yet, even dog has one good quality, faithfulness. And Prabhupada told the story of how there was a woman, she had a baby and a dog. When the woman went for a bazaar to buy certain things, and she came and saw that her child was not in the cradle, and there were blood marks all on the floor. And she became very much disturbed, and she cried. She loudly cried out, and the dog came out. Dog came in the house, and the dog's mouth was full of blood. And she didn't intelligently think, and she thought maybe the dog is the one who has killed my child, devoured my child. So immediately she bought a big wooden handle and begged the dog to plumb. The dog died. When the dog died, the noise which was created because of beating the dog, suddenly she heard her child crying in distance. And she saw that actually the child was under the bed. And when she followed the marks of the blood, she saw that there was a wolf which had come in the home to kill the baby. So then she understood how the faithful the dog was. And Prabhupada says, the conclusion is, Prabhupada told me that a disciple should serve the spiritual master in the same way. If the disciple cannot remain faithful to his spiritual master, he is less than a dog, Prabhupada says. Regarding mosquitoes, Prabhupada once was sitting with all of his disciples, and one devotee told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, yesterday in the meeting, there are so many mosquitoes, and they are biting us when you are giving lecture. But Prabhupada, amazingly, we saw that not even one mosquito was biting you. So Prabhupada became a little happy. And he said, and then this devotee said that, Prabhupada, maybe he knows that you are a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, yes. But in Mayapur, the mosquitoes make no distinction, Prabhupada said. Then we also, let's see one more example of Prabhupada dealing with bed bugs. Even in America, those times there are bed bugs in the ashram. Prabhupada says, this is from, again, the Satsurup Maharaj books. In Satsurup Maharaj apartment, this devotee was sleeping on a blanket on the floor, and the bed bugs were a big problem. Devotee said he would wake up in the morning with red bites all over his cheeks. He tried to turn in other direction with his feet to the wall, but then the feet would be covered with red bites. And Prabhupada saw and asked, what's happening on your face? What are the red marks on your face? And this devotee mentioned that some bugs are biting me. Prabhupada laughed and said, pointing to his window, yes, they also come here. But I stay very still. And when they think I am asleep, they come. Then I catch them and chant to them, and then put them out of the window. By the breathing, they know just when a man is sleeping. But I can trick them, Prabhupada said. His eyes sparkled as he told of how to trick the bed bugs by pretending to be asleep. So that devotee tried that day to to pretending to be asleep. But somehow they were so tired that he fell asleep. And he could not catch those bugs. A few days later, I told Swamiji, I have tried every night to catch them, but I can't catch them. I breathe softly, try to pretend that I'm asleep, but they are too clever. They don't come and bite until I'm really asleep. I don't know how to do. Prabhupada laughed and wagged his head from side to side. Yes. Yes, you have to be very expert, Prabhupada says. And his devotee mentions, thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for showing me your compassion even for bedbugs. You cared even for these living entities who came to you only for biting and sucking blood. And you gave them your mercy as surely as those who came for serving. Thank you for showing us how to live, how to love all creatures, and how to give the benediction of the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada therefore said, we should treat all living entities equally. In the modern days, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, in the modern days, people are very much inclined towards communistic ideas of equality. But in communistic countries, the poor animals are killed without any consideration. So this is the point. The highlighting point is that if we don't treat animals equally, then we become equal to animals. The civilization becomes an animal civilization. Though Srila Prabhupada many times said, this modern civilization is a dog civilization, hog civilization, camel civilization, rat race. Dog civilization because everyone is treating each other like a dog. Dog, Prabhupada is a dog, runs on four legs and we are running on four wheels. We keep a pack of dogs together, they keep barking. Similarly, there's United Nations, pack of dogs coming together, keep barking. The number of flags keep increasing. Prabhupada even called the immigration department as a dog department. Shouting, growling, why are you coming inside the country? And Prabhupada called this civilization as a rat race. Everyone is running here and there, not knowing where they're going to land. Then hog civilization, Prabhupada said, people are eating anything and they indiscriminately they mate. And Bhagavata mentions that how Sovid Vara Hostra Khare Samsuta Purusha Pashu. Modern education, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, it prepares you to become a dog. After education, like a dog, you go to search for a master with a degree in hand. Prabhupada was once lecturing in Harvard University. And Prabhupada told everyone that I'm going to tell you a nice story. And Prabhupada told the story that once there was a big announcement, the Himalayas are going to give birth. And all people gathered around Himalayas, huge Himalayas. Himalayas today going to give birth to offsprings. So everyone was wondering, what will come? And a time came, immediately what happened? Many rats came running from Himalayas. And everyone was shocked, huge Himalayas, and what is coming out? Rats. And Prabhupada said, similarly, your Harvard University, people are expecting big, big things from here. And out come people who are like rats, Prabhupada said. Something big expecting, but people are coming who are like rats. One devotee who was a scientist, he told me that today people are making research, when they want to make research on medicines, before the medicines could be used for human beings, they use rats. Why? Because scientists mentioned that based on the behavior of rats, then they use it for understanding the behavior of a human being. So we see actually, certainly also we are saying the same thing, that we are all become like rats. So first research on rats, based on the behavior of rat, that is the same behavior of a human being. And therefore you find people are proudly taking today the names of animals. People are proud to be called as eagles, lions club, lioness club. Prabhupada said, why do you want to become lion? No? From lion they become human being. It should be humans club, not lions club. So we are very, very much kind of attracted towards names of animals. Why? Because we are not showing equality towards animal, therefore we have become equal to animal. So this is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Unfortunately, many people living in this material world are not aware of this message of Srimad Bhagavatam. If only they could come and read and hear Srimad Bhagavatam as Narad Muni is instructing to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and Srila Prabhupada is telling all of us here, that we will actually think in proper perspective as everyone having equal rights, and then we can lead, at least try and attempt to lead an ideal lifestyle. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Since we have gone over time, we'll end here. Thank you so much. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.